Well, it's Easter, isn't it? Easter, Good Friday. Over the past term, we've been looking at Jesus heading towards Jerusalem. You may remember me saying this a number of times, and heading to the place where he would die for the sins of the world. And today's that day that we remember the death of Jesus. Now, it's an important event, but if we only ever talked about the death of Jesus, then people may be a little concerned about us, wouldn't they? Why are they going on and on about this guy that died? Why the focus on him? Now, the reason why we celebrate the death is also because of the life Jesus led on earth. It's also about us. It's about who we are. It's also about the resurrection on Sunday, which we'll celebrate. There are so many things and pieces of this puzzle as to why we want to celebrate the death of Jesus. In fact, sometimes it's even hard to put it into one sentence. It's hard to just say really clearly to someone why we want more people to follow Jesus. Now, for me, I look at the resurrection and I marvel. In John 20, Peter goes into the grave where Jesus' body was buried and he saw all the grave clothes. John went in after him, you may remember, and it says in the Bible, he saw the grave clothes and he believed. He believed. John's gospel is all about that. He saw these clothes and he believed. Now, as we come to Good Friday, I thought it actually might help us if we took some time to look at some different aspects of the good news of Jesus. We often call it the gospel. And I think sometimes that can be confusing. We think, well, what is the gospel? John keeps mentioning this. We talk about the good news of Jesus and we go, ugh. So I thought for these holidays over Good Friday and the next couple of weeks, we'd look at a few passages that would help us understand what the good news of Jesus is. Over the next four sermons, I'm going to give you five passages to help you understand the good news of Jesus. And the series is called The Romans Road, and you've got a little brochure in front of you, in your hot little hand, to see what these verses are. And it's a way for us to remember the good news of Jesus using your Bible, remembering five passages. Now, I've made this small enough that you can just slip in your Bible if you need a reminder. If you've got your own Bible today with you, don't use the pew Bibles, but you might like to highlight these verses in your Bible. If someone says to you, oh, why do you follow Jesus? Well, here are five verses that you can show someone to say, oh, this is why. And so the series that we're going through is going to explain these five passages, and hopefully you'll walk away after the five passages clearer on what the good news of Jesus is. Now, our first passage is Romans 3, 23. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'll keep it on the screen behind me. Our first verse tells us who we are. And that's the title in your outline there. It tells us who we are. And it sort of says that we have a problem, doesn't it, this verse? What's wrong with humanity is that all people are sinful. Jen did a good start on that one. So now we're going to read Romans 3:23 together because I want you to start remembering this verse, okay? So we're going to read it together. It's on your screen. It's in their little handout, whatever you prefer. And it says there, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, Paul is the author of Romans, and he doesn't say here a few have sinned, a couple have sinned, that some are not bad. Rather, Paul puts us all in the same camp, doesn't he? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's the starting place for all of us. We're all in the same starting block when it comes to our relationship with God. And the Bible talks about all humanity being born into this sinful state. Now you might be thinking, well, how did we get into this sinful state? What did I deserve? What did I do to deserve this? I haven't done anything wrong, have I? I mean, I do good things. I'm nice to my mates. What else is there? Now, many of you are nice to your friends. In fact, I know a lot of you in this room, and I think you're a good bunch of people. I like coming here because you're nice. But let me tell you, even though you're nice, you're still sinners just like me. Back in Genesis chapter 3, the first book in the Bible, we're told that Adam and Eve sinned, and as a result, all their children and their children are born into sin. Which means that we all have hearts that, like Jen said, turn us away from God. It turns us away from God. Another way of describing who we are is to say that we believe that we're God and that we're the boss, and we don't need or want to listen to anyone else. See, to sin means to not follow God's ways. As we sin, we choose our way instead of God's way. We pursue our interests rather than God's interests. And the Bible talks about this as sin. We're really good at living against God's ways, because it actually comes out of us by nature, because we're sinners. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, I've never said no to God. And so what does it mean to say no to God? Well, let me give you a bit of an illustration. My in-laws had a dog named Caesar. Caesar was a great dog. He was a boxer. I think he was the family's favourite dog, actually, out of all the dogs they had. Corinne and I, they got the dog not long after we started dating. And so Corinne and I used to take the dog for walks to the park. Now, to get to the park, we had to cross a lot of different streets. And Caesar, thanks to my father-in-law, was very well trained. It's so well trained that as we never put the lead on him. But when we got to a curb, he would stop and sit. He would just sit at the curb. And when you said the right word to him and gave him the special signal, he was then allowed to cross the road, and he would run across the road. So sometimes we'd wait half a block beyond the curb, and he would just sit there waiting for us, waiting on edge, waiting for us to say, okay, and then he'd be off. He'd run, he'd come across the road, and he'd run till he caught up to us. Now, I remember one time we were deep in conversation. This happened a lot. We were with the Caesar, and we'd cross roads and talking away, and then we'd look back and, oh, no, he's like two blocks back. And there he was, waiting for us. He was such a good dog. And we'd say, okay, and he'd come running. But Caesar, even though he was such a good dog, sometimes had his own desires. He knew that he wasn't allowed out of the backyard. However, sometimes he'd jump the fence and he'd go to the park on his own. He'd cross the roads. No one would give him an okay to cross the roads. He wouldn't wait at the curbs. He was a rebellious dog. It didn't matter how many times you told him, don't jump the fence. If he was alone, he would jump the fence and he would run away. You see, Caesar, by nature, was disobedient. He was rebelling against my in-laws. And not only was he not listening, but when he went out alone, he actually was putting his life in danger. In serious danger. He might end up in a fight with a poodle. He never liked poodles. He could get hit by a car. See, life for Caesar became seriously dangerous when he left the house without someone with him. And this is a similar problem to what we have, isn't it? We're in grave danger when we are not with God and following God's ways. And what makes it especially hard is that we all want to jump the fence and break out from under God's rule. We want to live our own way. And the Bible calls this sin. That's what sin is. And it's dangerous. The problem for all humanity comes because of this separation between God and man. Bruce had a great illustration, didn't he? That rope is broken. And the point in this particular verse is that there is a need for restoration between God and man. It's a universal problem. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Not some, not a few. All of us. In verse 22, and this is sort of jumping ahead in the Romans road, but in verse 22, the verse before, it says that all people need to be covered by the righteousness of Christ. And the reason is because of verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And this is how each person is born into this world. We have this universal problem that we are sinners. We live naturally disobedient to God, and we all need to be covered with the righteousness of Christ that you see in verse 22. Because as sinners, we are his enemies. Just like Caesar, the dog who jumped the fence and does his own thing, we too by nature want to jump the fence. We want to live for ourselves. And the Bible speaks about humanity as though they're enemies with God because we're ignoring his ways. And Romans 23 is the reason. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, the Bible tells us here who we are. Our sinful nature tells us to live in this world ignoring and not listening to God, and ignoring the fact that we are sinners is very dangerous. But can you see who we are as his people? We're born into a natural rebellion against God. That's what our first passage tells us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And this is a dire position. Now, if this was the end of the story, the end of the road, thankfully it's not the end of the road. If this were the end of the road, it would be very sad. Thankfully, there's four more verses, and we're going to look at the second one now. Our next verse tells us who God is. That's in your outline, who God is. And the passage we're looking at it is Romans 5, verse 8. Let's say it together. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, sorry, that's 6:23, isn't it? Yeah, that's wrong. Sorry. We'll just skip that. I've copied the wrong verse in there. I'm really sorry about that. Romans 5, verse 8. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I was thinking there was something wrong there. Okay. Got you thinking. Now, this connects really well what we've seen in the first passage. And being Good Friday, this verse is a great verse for us to remember that the death of Jesus is for you. He died to cover over our sins, to cover over your rebellion. So what does this verse tell us? Well, to help us a little, I want to look at the context of this verse. So if you have a Bible, open it to chapter 5, verse 6. And the first thing we see there is that Jesus dies for weak, ungodly sinners. We saw that we were sinners in the first verse. This one tells us that Jesus died for weak, ungodly sinners, which is us. So look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, Christ in this verse refers to Jesus. The word Christ is also the word for Messiah. And it says that Jesus then died for ungodly sinners. Now, this is really odd, isn't it? I mean, why would Jesus die for weak, ungodly sinners? If he is so righteous and he is God, why would he die for people like you and me? Now, it seems that Paul also had this same problem. He says in verses 7 and 8, he answers it in verses 7 and 8 in a roundabout way. He says in verse 7, for rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. And then we get to chapter 5, verse 8, where it says, but God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, verse 7 is speaking about humanity. It's saying that the likelihood of someone dying for someone else is really rare. Even if they're righteous and good, it's still very rare that someone would die for someone else. Now, we see these rare events sometimes in the summer, don't we? Where people give their life to try and save someone else in the beach. They might save someone, but in the process, they give up their own life. It's surprising, isn't it? Now, because most of us are actually concerned with our own life over and above giving our life for someone else. I think we saw that in the Bondi attack. We saw a courageous few run toward, willing to give their lives. But I don't know if you saw some of the video. The number of people running away, just trying to save themselves, getting out of harm's way, was incredible. And verse 7 is telling us this about humanity. We won't give our life for just anyone. Now, the passage is full of comparisons, and this one shows who we would die for compared to who Jesus did die for. See, back to verse 8 again, we look at God's love for us. It says there, but God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, Jesus didn't look at us, didn't look at humanity and think, oh, you know, they're not too bad. Not a bad bunch of people. Are they? They're pretty good looking. They're all right. He didn't look at us and think, oh, you know, most of them are okay. There's a few odd ones, but, you know, on the whole, yeah, I guess I could die for them. No, the love of God is so great that even while humanity was sinners, his enemies, he poured out his love on us by dying on the cross. So the cross is the sign of God's love for us. That's what we should see, what we should understand when we see the cross. Do you remember the first verse? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. We're all sinners, we're all enemies, and yet as his enemy, God's love was on display through Jesus Christ. Jesus looked at us, saw that we were sinners and rebels and his enemies, and he said, I will die for you. The comparison between what we're willing to do for someone else and what Jesus did is incredibly great. We might be willing to do some good or some, might be willing for some good or righteous person, but Jesus died for us while we were his enemies. Now, I like being nice to people around me. It's even easier when people are nice to you. But what we're told here is that Jesus did the most loving thing for you, gave up his life for you, and he did that while you were his enemy. It's incredible, isn't it? He poured out his love on you while you were a sinner. The message of Good Friday can be wrapped up, I think, in these two verses. We're all sinners and we need forgiveness. And Jesus dies to save you from being a sinner. That's what Good Friday is all about. Now, on Sunday, we're going to take a closer look at how God deals with sin and us. We'll see that his death pays the price for our sin. And that's the good news. We no longer walk as his enemies, but we become his friends, his family, all because of his love for you. Now, today, we're left with the idea that we're sinners, and that God sent his son to deal with sinners. So if you are visiting and not coming on Sunday, this is not going to sit very well, is it? There's no resolution knowing these two things. But just like Jesus died and didn't stay dead, that's why we have Resurrection Sunday, he offers, what he offers through his life, death and resurrection is forgiveness. Forgiveness for all who trust in this sacrifice of Jesus for you. Forgiveness for those who understand that even though you might be his enemy, he died for you and he brought you forgiveness. Well, we're going to see more of that on Sunday, and I hope you can come back. So let's pray. Father God, we have looked at humanity today and seen that all of us are born into a natural state of rebellion against you. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've also seen that while we were still sinners, while we fall short of your glory and are helpless sinners, you sent your son to die for each one of us. It shows us your love for all humanity, that even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, this is the beginning of the great news that is your gospel for all people. Help us to see how great your love is for all humanity. Help us to remember this truth for ourselves. To remember that we can be saved, to remember what we can be saved from, but also what we have been saved for. Lord, we pray and thank you that you love us and that you have shown your love through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.